When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TFA fam, welcome in.
Yeah.
Another dynasty edition here. I mean, you know, I'm just a dynasty guy now, you know.
Dynasty.
Used to be a DFS and redraft guy. Now I'm just a, you know, put that feather in my cap. I'm a dynasty guy now.
So. Certified dynasty guy, Kev.
Yeah. Which you've always been a dynasty guy. Like you've been the resident dynasty guy here, but now I'm a part of the group, so.
It's good to officially. I feel like you've been a closet dynasty guy for a while, and now you're finally letting it out.
I mean, I used to, you know, really bag on dynasty a lot, but now I've kind of changed a little bit. You know,
you're like the dude that said like that claims to hate like Creed and Nickelback, but it comes on in the car and you're blasting it.
Just singing it at the top of my lungs.
Dude, don't get it, man. Shit sucks. Windows down. We're all right around.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah. So today we're going to be doing a little... What is this? Amateur hour? We didn't even change the... We have to change that. Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're not doing a mock draft. We are doing a buy or sell edition with the... I mean, the draft is, what, about a month away now, actually? We stand. Actually almost exactly a month. Or a little less, actually, until the NFL drafts. I figured this would be a good time to do some dynasty buy-sell. So that's what we're going to be doing today. First things first, I mean, why don't we just start it off and not waste anybody's time? Cody, who's your first?
I'd go with someone who I did not realize I stole from you, Kev, because in typical TFA fashion, we don't discuss anything beforehand, so we didn't know the guys that each of us are going to be talking about. But I'll kick it off with someone that we were in lockstep with, and that is Drake London. And then just an overall note, we're basing this off of DLF's Superflex ADP for March. It does seem like some of this is going to be a little bit off, just probably given the timing of free agency and whatnot. But regardless, currently going as wide receiver 21. I think that's going to be bumped up a little bit with Kirk Cousins landing there. But if this price were to stay, he's going around the beginning of the fifth. Love this buying opportunity. He's going after the big six in the rookie class here as well, which is the thing that stuck out to me when I was looking through the ADP. So if you could offer, you know, a mid-first and a second, a mid-first and, you know, a player that whoever has Drake London might like, I absolutely love that move. We did see London's efficiency drop in year two, but in his rookie season, we're talking about a dude who was 11th in yards per route run, 14th in fantasy points per route run. And now you have Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator, coming into town. All about is getting as much exposure to this offense as possible. And we haven't seen one for what feels like a decade, Kev. But this is setting up to be one of, you know, a throwback here in terms of a legitimate year three wide receiver breakout. Like that used to be like the rule. That was like the norm. Is like, you know, you every year you would see the articles and podcasts coming out about, you know, who's going to be the year three wide receiver breakout. That hasn't really happened for the past several years. Guys are starting to produce immediately now. But this does feel like a legitimate year three breakout for Drake London. And I think we see him jump up into that like wide receiver one, wide receiver two range by the middle of the season.
Yeah. Completely agree with everything you just said when it comes to Drake London. I think this is kind of what we've talked about with guys like DJ Moore in years past, stuff like that. Just, man, if this guy gets a quarterback, sort of what we've been waiting for now that he finally has, as long as, you know, Kirk Cousins is the guy he was before this injury, that I think big things are in store for Drake London. So I still don't think, looking at his ADP, he is still coming. He's still, I think, being undervalued to where he should be. He should be in line with Garrett Wilson, in my mind. Like, I don't think he should be that far off. So I do agree on that. First guy I'm going to hit on here is going to be Jaden Reed. The love for Jaden Reed is eternal. And I just think, I think he's the best wide receiver the Packers have. I think we saw a big-time jump from Jordan Love this past year. A lot of people expected him to be that good as he was last year, especially over the second half of the season. And I think Jaden Reed is the number one wide receiver on this team. Yes, they have some other guys like Romeo Doubs and Dontayvion Wicks and stuff like that. But I still think Jaden Reed is the guy. And I really like the way they utilized him last year. They used him a little bit as a running back as well. So, you know, if he can be a player who maybe it's only, you know, 3 or 4 carries a game, but if, you know, they're going to feel comfortable utilizing down the goal line, I think those are all really positive things for him. I mean, he was top 14 among all wide receivers and red zone targets last year. And I just think he's only going to go higher than that. So top 25 in yards per route run. So there's a lot to like here with Jaden Reed. And I mean, if you just kind of look where he's coming off the board in startups, wide receiver 29, 68th overall, I think he can be a top 15 wide receiver in 2024 and beyond. So I really like Jaden Reed.
Yeah, I think he is the safest wide receiver there for sure. And hopefully they start to use him in, you know, some different ways instead of trying to make him to be Deebo Samuel, because I think he's a legitimate wide receiver. But I'm going to move on, Kev, someone that is near and dear to your heart. Let's go Isaiah Pacheco coming off the board at RB13. He's going behind guys like Rashad White and James Cook. Just give me the running back that's tied to the Kansas City offense. He finished as RB13 in half PPR points per game this past season. And that was on an offense that a lot of us were thinking, you know, looking at in terms of like a subpar Chiefs offense in terms of like the standard that we hold them to. Also tacked on 44 receptions this past year as well, getting him in the mid-6. So if you are a contender especially, I love going after and trying to get somebody like Isaiah Pacheco. You know, just plug in your RB1, RB2 spot, and you don't think twice about it. You just let it ride out. So if you can get that kind of production at in the mid-6 from your running back, I love that.
Yeah, and so I think for the next time we talk about it, it's going to be something similar to what we talk about with DJ Moore and somebody we've always kind of been waiting to have that upper echelon quarterback. It's never really happened for him. He is 28 years old, but I still think, you know, he is still within his prime. He continually has 4 straight years of 1,000 yards. He hasn't necessarily hit it in terms of the touchdown department, but he's also been on some of the worst offenses. And, you know, and now one of the pass catchers that was in the offense has left, and that's Terry McLaurin. I get it. He may not be a sexy name, but I feel like a lot of that is how people feel like with DJ Moore as well before he went to Chicago. And so if you look at his ADP right now, I was kind of shocked that it's as low as it is. Wide receiver 41 right now. And as we know, they're definitely going to draft a quarterback. They're going to have their pick of who, you know, whether it's Jaden Daniels, whether it's Drake May there at the number 2 overall spot. And so I just think that they can't get any worse, right? With Sam Howell that was there before and some of the really bad quarterbacks he's had to play with. And so I think this could be a big time improvement for him. And somebody, like I said, I mean, he's been consistent. Touchdowns have been there, but everywhere else, he checks all those boxes. He's still only 28 years old and, you know, playing under a big contract. Curtis Samuel is gone from this offense right now, so we'll see what else they do in the draft. But that being said, he's still the alpha. He's still the number one wide receiver. And I feel like he's a player that if he was on another offense, he was somewhere else, we would be thinking much different about Terry McLaurin. And with all things considered, he has still produced year in and year out. He has been frustrating at times just because of the usage, but he's still been a pretty safe bet. And so I really do like Terry McLaurin. And if that's what it costs, is wide receiver 41 value, give me that all day, because I think he can easily beat that. I think he can jump back to being a top 24 wide receiver this year.
I think he makes a lot of sense for teams that are contending. And it's funny you bring up Terry McLaurin, because I'm using that analogy in a negative way coming up. So gotta pay. That's what we call a cliffhanger, little foreshadowing here. But my final buy on the March 2024 Superflex ADP from DLF is going to be Christian Kirk coming off the board as wide receiver 37, which to me is pretty wild considering This is a guy who has finished above that in half PPR points per game scoring for three straight seasons. Calvin Ridley is out of the way. Obviously, last year was a little bit of a down season for him between getting injured and like that offense just not looking the same that it was. Now, I do think it's possible because they were trying to bring back Calvin Ridley, even with signing Gabe Davis. I do think it's possible that they end up spending some capital on a wide receiver. But I think that's going to be, you know, that could potentially be the play here, right? Is like you wait, you see, because his price isn't going to go up from where it is right now. You wait into the draft. If they draft someone, that's going to drive his price down even further. And then if not, you just wait until your rookie draft happens when everyone is going crazy with rookie fever and FOMO. And I think you can get him for a pretty cheap price here. So I really like Christian Kirk. Not going to be someone who's going to go out and win you weeks. But if you're, you know, in a deeper flex league or you got to start three wide receivers, he's someone you plug into that wide receiver two, wide receiver three spot, and you don't think twice about it. He's going to be someone who is going to be pretty consistent week in and week out. So I love going out and getting Christian Kirk right now if you can.
Next up for me is actually going to be a sell, and that is, even though it may not necessarily be egregious coming off the board at QB 21, that's still like there's other quarterbacks that are going after him, and that guys like, and I know they're older and stuff like that, but a super flex, I mean, guys like Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, I get it. But even a Will Levis, I think I would rather have than Bryce Young. Like, I don't get the anything with Bryce Young. I get it. He was a, you know, top five pick last year. Obviously, the Panthers chose wrong. They should have went with CJ Stroud, you know, with that pick. But I don't see anything at all with Bryce Young to say that he is going to even be a thing at all. Like, not even just a league average type quarterback. You know, you typically want to see a quarterback at least have some, you know, some show you something, you know, in year one, you know, maybe over, especially over the second half of the season where a player, you know, once they start to learn things, learn the NFL and stuff like that, I didn't see anything. And you could argue, yes, the weapons weren't necessarily great, but they had, you know, with Adam Thielen and DJ Chark, you know, this year they're going to have Deontay Johnson. Yes, they approved the offensive line as well, bringing in some talent there to kind of protect him. But I don't see anything with him whatsoever. And I will say I have a little bit of a bias because I wasn't that big of a fan of him coming out anyways. And I thought it was always a mistake to be able to take him that high. And I think there's a reason his best comparable is Johnny Manziel on Player Profiler, because I think that's all he's ever going to be. I don't think that he's ever going to hit. And so if I can sell Bryce Young, I would sell Bryce Young for whatever I can. Yes, you're going to take a pretty big hit in terms of, you know, where you drafted him and stuff like that last year, but I would rather get out from under him and see what I could get for Bryce Young, because I don't think he's ever going to be a thing.
Yeah, it's that thing of just getting out while you can, because if he has another season to where, you know, it's even like marginally above where he was, like he's basically going to have to come out and ball this year to recoup that value. And if he doesn't do that, you're talking about just absolutely wasting that pick. And now you're not getting anything. You might as well just hold at that point. So if you feel the way that Kev does in terms of like he's not going to become a thing, you just you eat it right now from wherever you drafted him at, and you move on. And it did not look great for Bryce Young last year. But I'll go ahead and talk about the guy when you were bringing up Terry McLaurin as a buy and kind of the DJ Moore analogy that you were making. And one of my sells is going to be Chris Olave at wide receiver 10 off the board in March ADP. I can't do it. I can't do that price. Talking about a guy who has yet to crack the top 15 in fantasy points per game, but we continue to rank him as a wide receiver one each and every year. Like I said, he to me is the new Terry McLaurin. This is going to be someone that we keep hyping up every year, saying this is going to be the year for him. And it's just not gonna come through. Now, hopefully he doesn't suffer that same fate in terms of his quarterback play like you were talking about earlier, Kev, because I think that could be the thing that would push him ahead. But it's going to be Derek Carr for at least another year, if not two. And I just don't see anytime soon of him getting out of this. So I think there could potentially be, you know, a rebuying opportunity for Chris Olave down the line. But at wide receiver 10, I just can't do that whenever you're talking about some of the other guys that are going around that range. Like if you had to add to him to move up and get, you know, an AJ Brown, add to him to move up to get, you know, probably not happening at this point because of the hype surrounding him, and everyone loves the new toy. But even like a Marvin Harrison Jr., I would rather take the shot on him, or, you know, guys that are going below him in ADP. If you want to, you know, kind of like take the hit there, but then be able to pick up something on someone who's going after, after him in ADP, that's a move that I would consider making as well.
Yeah, and Ashton, Bryce Young was actually just traded for the 111. I'd have taken that all day. Give me the 111 all day. I don't know. Maybe I'll be wrong. It's just we haven't seen a whole lot from Bryce Young, or we haven't seen a whole lot of quarterbacks to look as bad as he did to be able to come back and turn it around to all of a sudden to be even just a functional quarterback, right? Like, yeah. He was just historically bad. I think he only had 6 games all last year where he scored double-digit fantasy points, and that's really hard to do as a quarterback. Like, really hard to do, like, to be able to only have that few of games where he scored double-digit fantasy points. So I am completely out on that. One for me now that is a tight end that I think that was highly regarded coming into last year. We know all tight ends are, you know, especially typically years past, they're guys that take a little bit longer to develop. Now that's changed a little bit in years past, but guys like Sam Laporta just absolutely balling out last year. Even, you know, somebody like a Dalton Kincaid, who had shined at moments last year, but somebody that could be similar to like a Trey McBride type breakout, depending on the quarterback situation, how this plays out. But I think that's Michael Mayer, somebody that was highly regarded coming out. He is tight end 16 off the board, 153rd overall. So not a lot of value there. So in tight end premium, stuff like that. But I really think Michael Mayer could be somebody who really kind of takes over here. You know, in terms of the other weapons there now, of course, I think it's Gardner Minshew is looking like the quarterback there right now. But Gardner Minshew at least has been able to support, you know, fantasy assets, right? Like, you know, and so I'm not as concerned with it. We'll see how this offense is. It does sound like this, they want to be very run heavy, which really just makes me sad. But depending on what they do at quarterback, there's been some rumblings that maybe they will get aggressive and try to trade up, you know, like the Vikings want to do, you know, in that third or fourth spot to try to get like a J.J. McCarthy or something like that. But I do think Michael Mayer is a really strong buy, really strong prospect coming out last year. And so I think he could be somebody that kind of takes that big leap this year and moving forward, for that matter.
Yeah, I like that call a lot, because no matter who they get at quarterback, I don't think it's going to send his – like, if they do go out and get a rookie, I don't think that's going to send his value spiking, right? Like, I think it's gonna kind of stay where it is. So I like that call a lot. I'm going to go with another sell here. I'm going Travis Etienne as a sell coming off the board at RB8. Just another price I simply could not do. We've seen it 2 years in a row now where Etienne has been given a workhorse role and has been worn down by the middle to the end of the year. He is having a monster season through the first half of last year. But then after their bye week in the second half of the year, he only had 4 games. So 4 out of his 8, 50% of his games, where he had double-digit half PPR points in those games. And we've also had Doug Peterson come out multiple times this offseason already. We haven't even hit, you know, the draft and the training camp portion of this yet, but we've already had Doug Peterson come out multiple times and talk about wanting to keep Etienne's role a little bit reduced this year. We've even heard him trying to bring up the ghost that is Tank Bigsby and talking about getting him going. So regardless of who it is, I think we see Etienne in a true committee this year in a top 8 RB prices. I'm out on that. And that's something like, similar to what I was talking about with Chris Olave, if you wanted to add to him, like if you're trying to go and like if you still wanted to go the RB route, I think you could add to him and try and move up and get like a Jonathan Taylor. I think you could trade down. So like obviously I talked about Pacheco, you know, get Pacheco plus for someone like Etienne, or, you know, if especially if you're not a contender, moving him for a wide receiver for anything that's around the value of where he's going in this ADP. Like, according to this, he and Rashee Rice, same exact ADP at 47.25. I would do that all day. Michael Pittman going after him, Drake London going after him, or like I said, adding to Etienne and then going up and getting somebody, you know, like a Nico Collins or something like that. So I think there are a lot of different ways you can get out of ETN. If you have him, that is what I would be.
Here's one that I go back and forth on, and I still go back and forth on, but I still think I'd be looking to sell because the price is just getting a little bit too much, a little too rich, and that's Nico Collins. Wide receiver 14 off the board is just too high for a player that's had 1 year production. That was really good production. What worries me is that he was very inconsistent last year whenever Tank Dell was actually healthy. And if they go out and draft another wide receiver, especially with early draft capital, it's really going to concern me for Nico Collins. And it's just, if he was going a little bit later, I'd be fine. But I mean, you got guys like, and Nico Collins is, I mean, he's 25 years old and he's going around guys like DJ Moore, Devonta Smith, DK Metcalf, Rashee Rice. I mean, he's going ahead of Michael Pittman and Drake London, Zay Flowers, like all these wide receivers I would feel more comfortable with than Nico Collins. And I love Nico Collins. I think it was phenomenal what he did last year. But to me, even Tank Dell going at wide receiver 25, like going significantly later than him, give me the discount and I'll take Tank Dell on that all day. It's just Nico Collins at wide receiver 14. Like if that's the prices that people are willing to pay for Nico Collins, like I would be looking. Because I just don't know if he's going to be able to replicate what he did last year. I think there's some sort of fall off probably coming considering how well he played. And again, love Nico Collins. What he did last year was phenomenal with 1,200 yards, almost 1,300 receiving yards, and 8 touchdowns. But I just don't know if he's going to be able to support this, continue moving forward this way. And I get it. He's attached to one of the best young quarterbacks in the league with CJ Stroud. But that just seems too high for him. It feels like you're paying for his ceiling rather than anything else, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you want to buy him, the move was obviously last year. I can't even imagine what his – I'm actually going to see if I can pull that up to see what his ADP was at this time last year, because I have to imagine that it's quite low. So let's see. Let's go 323. So 166.33 was his ADP at this time last year. Like even if you.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Went in season. So October, he was still sitting at 47 and a half. So that's a hard one. Right, because I do agree you're buying him at likely his ceiling at wide receiver 14, but it's also really hard to not see that continuing given what Stroud did as a rookie. But I don't really see Collins breaking into wide receiver 7 or 8, like a mid wide receiver 1. So That's an interesting. I think that one to me would be team specific. But to wrap up my sales, I'm going to go with Kenneth Walker, RB10 coming off the board. Now his ADP isn't egregious, but at RB10 prices, I'd be looking to move off of him. He is going at 54.75 rather in DLF March ADP. So you're talking about like a mid fifth round, which like I said, isn't. It's not crazy, but at the same time, I'm still talking about a running back who is going to be splitting touches. Now they're bringing in the OC from the University of Washington, I believe. So if they're going to not be a ground and pound type team, if there's going to be a team that's running more 3 wide receiver sets, it's going to be above average in terms of pass run ratio. I think that all that stuff is going to hurt Kenneth Walker. So same thing like I was mentioning with Travis Etienne. If you can add to him and move up, if you can move him for any of the wide receivers going around him, like T. Higgins is going, 2 spots after him with Kirk Cousins sandwiched in the middle there. I'd much rather have T. Higgins over Kenneth Walker. We already talked about Drake London being a buy. Like, if you had to add a little bit to Walker to get up to London, I'm doing that all day. So there's a, like I said, with same thing with ETN, there's a bunch of different things you can do here to try and move off of him. But Kenneth Walker at RB10. And I also think that this is kind of just like the status of the running back landscape for Dynasty right now. Because for Dynasty purposes, outside of Bijan, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, and, you know, McCaffrey, like, who do you like really feel like great about, you know, for, you know, if you're looking at it in like a 2 to 3 year window? There's always going to be the cheap guys, like Ashton was talking about, that you can go out and you can get, you know, guys like Gus Edwards, Raheem Mostert. There's always going to be those types of guys. But if you're looking at someone, it's like, okay, I'm going to have him for the next like 2 to 3 years. It's not great out there, Bob. And this rookie running back class isn't going to do a lot for you. Next year is setting up to be much, much, much better. Obviously, a low bar compared to this year, but next year we have a bunch of names coming in. But basically, all this just to say, I would be trying to move from these running backs if I were able to, either go with the cheaper option there or just pivot to a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, I mean, with the position too, it's just been like you said, like, really, I think it's Bijan, Breece, Gibbs, and Taylor, I think, are the ones that really that I would feel the most comfortable with. But even saying comfortable is you have to, you know, at least three of those guys are, you know, still only 22 years old. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is 25. I mean, once you start getting up there, you just start to get a little bit more nervous. But I think overall, I think when you look at the running back position, I think you're right. And I think there's actually, you know, I wanted to ask you, like, what are you doing with someone like Zamir White, who likely is the starter this year, at least with everything that they've said? They bring in, you know, Alexander Mattison, which nobody cares about because Alexander Mattison is an absolute bum. But, like, Zamir White kind of stands in a weird situation because it's likely, even if he is the starter next year, it's probably a one-year deal. But I guess it would depend on, like, what you could get for him. But would you be out there looking to see what you could sell him for?
I mean, at this point, I think you're probably better off holding, because I think anyone who's trying to buy right now isn't going to give you much in return, just because it's, you know, maybe like, what if they go out and they spend capital on somebody? Whereas, you know, kind of like what Ashton was saying in the chat, looking, you know, basically selling all running backs until weeks 2 to 3 if the team is any good, and then you'll go out and trade for one. That's whenever you can strike on somebody like a Zamir White. So that's just a 1 year rental. You either spent like a fourth round rookie pick, or you got him off the waiver wire. You can go ahead and flip him for, you know, for a decent return, kind of like in season, or especially, like I said, if they don't do anything in the draft, that's when I think you're going to be able to flip somebody like Zamir White for a better profit.
Do you have any, or who's somebody that like would be a much more later down the road, but maybe you're trying to buy as maybe as an upside type play, you know, if they were to hit, it's not going to cost you anything. Is there anybody that comes to mind for you that, that you're interested in trying to buy?
At running back?
At running back or wide receiver.
Deeper down in the ADP, I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind at running back would be Chase Brown. We kind of talked about it on the free agency show. I just think Zach Moss is a Jag. I don't think he's going to do much to be able to keep Chase Brown off the field. We saw how explosive that dude was toward those last several weeks. I'm not counting on Zach Moss putting up the same kind of production he did this last season, whenever that was the only time we've really seen that from him. So I think Chase Brown is somebody further on down that's like kind of like more of an upside type of guy to go after at running back.
What do you think about? I think Kendre Miller is one that's kind of RB 35 off the board. I know Jamal. You know, I know there's still Alvin Kamara, but I mean, you're talking about some aging running backs, Jamal Williams and Alvin Kamara. He was injured for a lot of last year, even heading into everything, so he really didn't get a full offseason to do anything. I think he could be a guy that ends up kind of being a little bit of a steal. Could have a pretty big impact. I mean, I don't think he's a long-term option there, but somebody that I think that could play at least an immediate role this year. That's not going to cost you a lot of running back. I think he's somebody that when I was kind of scrolling through, I was hoping that New Orleans would do the right thing and just cut Jamal Williams because, he's not really needed there. But I do think Kendre Miller, I think, stands in kind of an interesting spot here, though.
Yeah, I do like that call. I would feel better about it, like you said, if they would have made those cuts that they should have made. But we haven't seen anything from any of those other running backs. And we also have to remember that Kendre Miller was injured, I think, like during rookie training camp, or maybe he even came in injured. And then we never really saw him be able to get his footing. So he's someone who I think, a lot of people have probably soured on. Another name I was just, as I'm scrolling through and trying to look, Rico Dowdle. I think that the Cowboys go out and they add to that running back room at some point in one way or another. But we saw he was fine whenever he was paired up with Tony Pollard last year. And if by some chance they don't do anything at running back, he's obviously going to be in a really nice spot. So I think Dowdle is another cheap running back you could potentially look at, throwing a third, fourth round pick. And kind of seeing what ends up happening, but he's probably somebody that I would wait until after the draft, because he's not someone who, if you have him, I don't think you're looking to get a second for him. So I think you still might be able to throw two thirds or something like that at someone who has Rico Dowdle to see what happens there.
Yeah, I think when flipping over to the wide receivers, there's a lot of names down here that I think have some intrigue, especially second year wide receivers that could break out. I think Jalen Hyatt comes to mind. I mean, the Giants just have no weapons there at all. It's just crazy how little weapons they've had really since over. I mean, I guess Odell, maybe Sterling Shepard had some flashes at times, but I think it sounds there's a lot of rumblings right now that sounds like they're going to be really interested in looking at taking quarterback there, depending on especially if one Drake May were to fall or something like that, a couple of picks, but depending on what happens, or maybe they move up a few spots, it wouldn't cost them as much. But so Jalen Hyde, I think, stands out to me as somebody that could really stand out here. Kind of flashed a little bit at times last year, especially late in the season last year. Even still, they still have Daniel Jones, which it's Daniel Jones, but I also think somebody like a Trey Palmer, probably would have been a little bit more interested, if had Mike Evans left. Yeah. But even with that, I mean, Mike Evans isn't young. I mean, he's in his 30s now. If something were to happen to him, I think Trey Palmer is a nice depth piece to have stashed away. And even still, there were still moments last year where he was a viable option, wouldn't cost much to acquire. I think both of those guys really kind of stand out to me. And I think another one that we're not talking about is possibly, I really like Michael Wilson. But honestly, Greg Dortch might be he always produces and I don't know what he has to do just to get a full-time role, because every time he's on the field, I can't say the last two seasons that I have talked about him, we talk about him DFS and the slot, everything else, and he comes in and he just produces. Now, yes, I think they're going to take a wide receiver. I know there's been some people speculating that maybe they could trade Kyler Murray to the Vikings. I have no clue why anybody think they would do that. That's the dumbest thing in the world. I don't understand that. It'd be different if the Vikings had a number one overall pick or the second overall pick or something. Then okay, maybe you do it if you're convinced, but you're not doing that to move back to 11. But anyways, so with that being said, I think they probably go Marvin Harrison there if he's sitting there on the board. Maybe they go Malik Nabers. They're going to go with another elite wide receiver here, rookie wide receiver that they're going to take. But still, I still think there's, especially with somebody like him, I think he can, there's Kyler Murray can support multiple pass catchers here. And so I do think somebody like Greg Dortch for a contending team, Greg Dortch, I think, and he's only 25 years old.
I love it. I have Greg Dortch stashed on a couple of teams. When I saw Rondell Moore get out of the way, I'm like, okay, here we go. That's all we need. Like you said, every time he gets, let's call it 65% plus of the snaps, 70% plus of snaps, he produces, man. He goes out there and he does his thing. So It's going to be really interesting. Now, obviously, you have Marvin Harrison Jr. coming in, but with Rondell Moore out of the way, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I was really hoping, even last year, that Greg Dortch, after what he did, you know, the previous year, was going to be able to find himself on a team that was actually going to use him a little bit more, but he was in the same role that he was the year before and literally did the same exact thing that he did the year before that. So I'll throw out one more name here as I'm scrolling down, and there are only three wide receivers going later than this guy, and that is Jalen Tolbert for Dallas. We did see him finally start to get on the field a little bit more last year. He did have some positive buzz coming in from training camp as well going into his second year. We have to remember he was also a small school kid, so this is a big-time jump for him, you know, despite having the solid draft capital. I think what he was a third-round pick two years ago. Michael Gallup obviously released. Brandon Cook's still there, but he's 30 years old. So I think Jalen Tolbert would be a guy who, you know, like I said, flashed a little bit, was getting a little bit more run. So I think if you could throw a late-round pick at him and kind of see what happens, but he would be the other guy.
You buying Quentin Johnson?
No, I had one share of Quentin Johnson. I moved him before the end of the season. It was a super flex league, and I like packaged him up with eight other things, and I moved him. I went out and got Joe Burrow, and the only thing in that package that I'm a little uneasy about at this point is Rashee Rice was part of that package. So really hoping the Chiefs go out and still add another wide receiver to that group to make me feel a little bit better, in the hopes that Rice doesn't see like a ton more involvement and target share in that offense, because it was like right after I traded him was whenever they started like using him more consistently on a week-to-week basis. So like having to watch all those Chiefs games and see Rice just go out there and ball and just like build upon the week that he had before was tough to watch. But yeah, that was the only Quentin Johnson share I had. Sent that out, and I am not worried about that at all.
Yeah, it feels pretty likely they're going to take a wide receiver there with whether they have the fifth overall pick. So I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, obviously they don't have a choice. I mean, I was shocked that they traded away Keenan Allen, mainly because he was just on a 1-year deal and you still had Justin Herbert, and it doesn't feel like a situation where you have to like break things up. There's been a lot of Justin Herbert hate in the streets lately, and I don't quite understand it. Considering what he's had to deal with and everything there. I mean, just the massive amount of injuries that team suffers to the offense. I mean, very rarely does he have everybody healthy, and he's still been a producer. I don't know. If the Vikings could trade for Justin Herbert, I'm doing it all day. Like, I'll give you this year's first. I'll give you next year's first. I'll give you the next year's first after that. Like, Justin Herbert, I think, is a legitimate, you know, top six, top seven quarterback in the league. And I think you put him in the right system. I mean, and I would love it if he went to the Vikings, because I think Kevin O'Connell's actually a pretty good coach. I mean, look what he did with some of the guys that they had late last year who was able to produce, at least for fantasy purposes. And so I think Justin Herbert gets a bad rap sometimes because of things that have happened there. And I don't think it's really his fault. So, but with that being said, Quentin Johnson, I don't think he's ever going to be a thing. He feels like he's going to be like Jalen Reagor or, you know, Laquan Treadwell, who just kind of treads water for a little while and just kind of bounces around the league after that. I don't know. Hopefully I'm wrong. I don't wish upon anybody. And Quentin Johnson, I mean, honestly, I was a guy I liked. But you also have to know when to hold him and know when to fold him. And I think it's time to fold him on that. That being said, I don't really have a whole lot of other options here. Obviously, really the big thing here is going to be waiting for the draft to shake out. With a lot of this to kind of figure out, you know, what's what from there in terms of, but I think there are some really strong buying windows right now in terms of some of these situations here, the way some of these things could play out. So, do you have anything else?
No, I'm going to be putting, if for the folks who love the Dynasty buy sells, I will be putting together some like different types of scenarios. So, like if you're a contender, bargain bin buys, that sort of thing. You know, buys if you're, you know, if you're rebuilding. So there's gonna be some more videos coming out, because we still have the time's gonna pass. The season's gonna be here before we know it. But having said that, we still have 6 months before, or I guess 5 months now, before actual football. So the Dynasty content is still gonna roll strong.
At least for a few more months, right? And then, you know, redraft usually kicks off about June. So yeah. So yeah. You know, Dynasty's fun. I mean, it's fun. It's interesting.
Speaking of best ball, Kev, we got to. I want to do a live draft on the show.
Yeah, I want to do a lot more best ball this year. The DFS bros have been. We've really been talking a lot, and like DFS has gotten to the point now, man, where it's not. It's just the rake is so crazy with like DraftKings and FanDuel, and the contests have gotten so watered down, and it's got, you have the Sims and everything else that's going on there in the DFS streets, and DFS just doesn't feel like as fun as it did before. And so like we've been talking a lot about doing like being more invested into like best ball. It is a much longer burn. Obviously, you have to, you know, hold your money in one spot, but you know, a lot of the same principles still withhold there. And you know, the tournaments that they have over at Underdog, I think are a lot of fun. So yeah, we definitely need to get in some best ball drafts and start digging into some of that stuff, because best ball is a lot of fun. So, and I think it is, you know, diverge your portfolio a little bit, get some pre-NFL draft guys. It's probably not as strong, because like, especially when they first release them for Underdog, like right after, like whenever it opens up, like you can get some really strong values because nobody really knows who the rookies are yet. I think by now, some people have probably learned, so you're not going to get like Marvin Harrison or Adunzi or Malik Neighbors. You're still going to get them at a value, but not nearly as much as you would have probably a couple months ago. But best ball is a lot of fun. So sure. We'll have to see what Maddie's up to. And again, we did one of those a couple years ago and jump in. He actually had a nice sweat last year for Underdog. I mean, actually him and Ben had ones that went pretty far into the playoffs. So I couldn't imagine, because like Ben's sweat was like, I think first was like 100,000 or something like that. He finished like top six in that one. So that's a real sweat right there. Like,
yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, we'll have to definitely get some best ball. Maybe we'll do that next week. I don't know. Let's see what happens. Maybe I don't know what else we have for next week, but keep delaying the redraft rankings here. And I know Cody's going to be upset if we don't get those out of the way.
At this point, we just need to wait till after the draft. It doesn't make sense to do it now. Everything's going to change in a month. We're holding off as long as humanly possible.
All right. Well, I know you're going to be upset about it, holding off, because I know you love them rankings, but yeah, maybe we'll do a best ball.
Yeah, happy birthday to you, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, same to you. I completely missed that last week, so hopefully you got your birthday gift.
It was delayed, but I eventually got it.
You eventually collected? Good, good.
Yeah.
So same for me. That's the only thing I want every year. It's really all I want. That's like it. As long as I get that, I don't gotta say anything else. If you know, you know. That's all I'm gonna say. And you got it. So I got it, and I was happy. And that's all I really need. You know, I don't need anything else. So, you know, what are you gonna buy me? If I want, you know, you buy some cologne or something like that. You know, if I want to buy that, I'll just buy it myself. So, you know. All right. With that being said, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. You know, less than 45 minutes. That's good. So
it's a record.
Yeah, we'll be back in next week. Like I said, I think maybe we'll try to do a best ball draft next week, see what's out there in terms of best ball, get some best ball out there. So that being said, hope everybody has a good Easter. Easter is this weekend. Seemed like it came earlier than normal. But have fun with your kids, whatever, or if you go to church, whatever you do for Easter, enjoy that. If not, we'll see you again next week. Have a good weekend. Bye.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.